from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the Better Lawns and Gardens, the second hour. I'm Teresa Watkins. We're getting a lot of rain, no need for irrigation. That's just my constant. I will tell you that that's at the root, no pun intended. The root of all of our problems in our landscape is water. And, it's either not enough or too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of time in Florida, it's too much. We just think it's hot, and so we need to be watering often. So with this rain, this is the perfect time of the year to wean your grass off of irrigation and push those roots down deeper. So just let it go. After this week, I guarantee you, if you get an inch of rain, that 1 inch of rain will go down 12 inches, and you don't need to irrigate for 7 to 10 days. And so we're getting rain every day or every 2 to 3 days, no need to water. So let's hear from John Denver, the dirty word of the day.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is humate. H-U-M-A-T-E. In our first hour, Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand, he told us about what we should be adding to our landscapes right now, to our soils, to hold on to moisture and to add provided nutritional benefits. And that prompted me to use humate as a dirty word of the day. Humate is a soil amendment that enhances soil fertility and improves its structure and ability to retain water. This naturally derived substance plays a crucial role in the production of soil humus, which boosts nutrient availability and activates microbial life in soil. Humate is a natural substance, and it's rich in fulvic acids, humic acids, and it creates healthier and more productive plants. Applying humic products to our lawns and gardens facilitates higher seed germination rates, strengthens plant nutrition by increasing soil cation exchange capacity, and promotes robust root growth, which is critical for overall plant vitality. Effective soil management with humates improves soil aeration, combats soil compaction, and increases water retention, aiding in drought resistance. It should be balanced with other soil amendments like black cow and compost. So if you have a lot of sandy soil, your whole yard is sandy soil, adding humates to the soil is going to be beneficial for your yard. And we thank Quality Green Specialists for giving us the dirty word of the day. And so your soils, what kind of soil do you have, Lizzie, where you are in Sorrento?
I have a mixture. I have dirt. Like sand, like dirt mixed with like sand. I don't have a lot of sand, but it's not soil. But then we've also kind of changed everything because with us owning a dirt company and then us, you know, bringing in clay or bringing in lime and stuff. So everything's kind of mixed up. But prior to as a child, it was like, it wasn't sand, but it was like sand and dirt mixed together.
Yeah, the little bits of twigs and sticks in it, but it was sandy. Yeah. Otherwise, the sand that the ant lions could make little depressions. Did you ever watch Ant Lions?
Yes.
It was really cool. They kept us active, you know, interested for a good 15, 30 minutes.
Oh, 100%. And roly-polies.
And roly-polies.
You know, we tortured roly-polies. I mean, I hate to say that, but I mean, any kid did.
Yep. So there you go. So we have Laddie in Tallahassee. And Letty, what's going on in your yard?
Well, I have hydrangeas.
Uh-huh.
But they're still in a container.
Okay.
I didn't take them out front. And they both are, well, one of them has completely lost all its leaves, all the flowers. And I bought both of them from non-nurseries, let's put it that way.
Okay, box stores.
I won't give the person that I bought them from credit, but the other ones, they stayed pretty for the longest time, and now they're doing the same thing, but the leaves are, some of the leaves are still on there, and they're new ones sprouting out, but the ones that are there are black on the ends.
Yeah.
Just black, and it seems like it's almost overnight.
Okay, and so what size pots are they in? 1 gallons, 3 gallons, what size pots?
The two smaller ones that were real bright free pink are in a gallon, and the other one probably is in a 5 gallon.
Okay.
The single one, yeah.
Okay, so hydrangeas... Go ahead.
I didn't mean to keep it.
No, go ahead.
It had multiple color hydrangeas in it.
Okay. All right, so hydrangeas are really susceptible to, when they go through stress, they will drop their leaves and just try and survive. And so we've had a lot of stress this year. So now, are they in full sun or shade, Letty?
They were in full sun, and somebody said, no, there's two kinds, that one can be in shade, one can be in sun.
Okay, and so did you move them out of the sun?
I did. That's the ones that are in the smallest thing. They're the ones that lasted longer. I guess I've had those that were about 4 months or so.
Okay. So what I'm going to suggest to you is that when we get these floral hydrangeas in the stores or nurseries, they are usually planted in peat, and they don't have a lot of soil in these plants. Now, the 5 gallon may be different. It may have some organic potting soil that is planted in. But usually the ones in the 1 gallons, they dry out very quickly. And when they dry out, they don't get the water, which should be every day, because that's what the nurseries are watering them every day, then they drop their leaves. And so what I'm suggesting is that you take these smaller ones. They still may be alive. Scrape the skin off the stem.
It looks like they are, because it's got some new leaves on it.
Okay.
And I have been watering them.
Okay. Well, I would move them up into a new pot and add organic potting soil to the pot. Okay?
So,
and you may also find that you have two or three hydrangeas in one pot. All right?
You
can divide them up and put them in separate pots. Put them in good potting soil if you want. Now, you can also plant them in the ground, and they will be fine in Tallahassee. And in the shade, you can go ahead and put them in the shade. They like acidic soil. So you want to add some some pine vines to the soil to get that acidity going. And they should recover. But during the wintertime, they are deciduous. And so once we get the cold temperatures, that's when they drop their leaves for the year, and they will come back next year. Okay, so be prepared for that. But right now, they're putting out new leaves, and they really want to survive. So I would just put them in a new pot that's bigger. I would say 3 times as big. So 1 gallon, I would put it in a 3 gallon pot. And go ahead and keep them in the shade. Water them every 2 to 3 days. The watering, if you add the organic potting soil, will stay longer, and you won't have to water as much. And then the tips on the end means a burn. And did you fertilize them recently? Recently, did you add fertilizer?
I don't think I did, but I had bought some that, it's been a great big thing, and it tells you not to over-fertilize.
Right. Just follow the label instructions. But also, too, when they don't get as much water, or they don't have water, then the tips will turn brown or black. The other thing is, you could be overwatering it, and it turns brown or black. So stick your finger in the soil. If the soil's cool, moist, or damp, you don't need to water. Letty, great question. Let me know how they survive. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Quality Green Specialists has the plants, products, and friendly expert advice to keep your garden healthy and bountiful. Quality Green has thousands of plants, trees, flowers, herbs, vegetables, and more. Plus, high-quality organic-based fertilizers, products, even comprehensive soil testing. Visit DLand's beautiful nursery and fine fertilizer store. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Located at 335 West Michigan Avenue. QualityGreenSpecialist.com. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert expert advice.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Scorching hot car interiors can cause devastating injuries or worse in just a matter of minutes. Take extra care in making sure your whole family is out of the car before leaving. Put your purse, wallet, or phone in the back seat as a reminder. If you see a child or pet locked in a car, call 911 immediately. Remember, there's no excuse for leaving anyone behind. Go to flhsmv.gov/child safety for more info. That's flhsmv.gov. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
Healthcare.gov is here for you when life happens. If you lost your health coverage because of turning 26, going off Medicaid, leaving your job, or moving, you could be eligible to enroll in new coverage now. And if you need to update your coverage because of marriage or having a baby, you could also be eligible. But don't wait. There's a limited time to enroll. Check your eligibility at healthcare.gov today. Life happens. Get covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome back to Better Lawn and Garden. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we would love to have your phone call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680, and I will get your gardening message, and we'll talk about it. I'd love to hear from you. And so I would like to go through and talk to Lori in St. Cloud. She says, good morning. I have a question. I have an avocado tree that I planted from seed about 10 years ago. It's been producing fruit for the last few years, but it's kind of struggling. I noticed that the last 2 years there's only fruit on one side. The tree looks healthy. And let's see. Tree looks healthy. And let's see. And it's entirely in full sun. Thank you. Well, Lori, I'm just going to tell you, this year all the trees are struggling. And I'm seeing a lot of trees kick the bucket. And it's because of the drought that we've had this year. Sometimes when we have this drought, for the next year or so, we're going to see trees dying and not doing well. And that could be one of the reasons for your avocado tree not producing fruit, is the drought and not getting enough water. What I would do is I would wait a few weeks or after a rainstorm in next month, and put down some fertilizer for it. Fruit trees do need fertilized on a regular basis. And if they're a good size like yours should be after 10 years, then you're going to be talking about a couple of pounds for whatever you put down. Follow the label, but you just can't sprinkle fertilizer down and think that's enough for a full-size tree. But the drought this year has seen a lot of damage, and we're going to see the repercussions for the trees dying. For the next couple of years, it's going to affect us. Robin Christmas says, I was given a fig plant that was dug up in July, and I planted it. It's about a foot tall, and it's doing very, very well. Good for you. And it's very happy in its little pot. Should I transplant it? If so, when, and does it want full sun or partial shade? Well, figs always, Rob, have a like full sun. Okay, that's going to give them the best, you know, harvest. It's going to give them the best root system, so they like full sun. If you want to plant it, go ahead and do it now, because as you get closer to the wintertime, they do start to lose their leaves, and you're going to think it's died. Go ahead and plant it now. Give it some good watering, and it should be just fine. Just plant it full sun. Good job. Good job. Very nice. I wonder who gave him the fig tree.
Oh.
You know, and he lives at Christmas. And so, nice. You know, he got a gift of a fig tree. And so JAC followed up his solarization question with better to add black cow to raised beds before or after solarization. I would do it afterwards. Okay. Let's, do we have Eileen? Did she?
No, she wanted to call and chat with me. So
there you go. Hi, Eileen. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, no, she just wanted to say good morning real quick to all of us.
Oh, that's nicer. Good morning, Eileen. And so Beverly in Tallahassee said, in 2 weeks, my tree went from green and happy to black leaves falling off. The gentleman who cuts my lawn remembers it looking fine 2 weeks ago, was shocked to see it like this today. He wondered if maybe it had been struck by lightning, as we've had some bad storms a couple of weeks ago. I can't see anything like a lightning strike. My other Bradford pear in another part of the yard looks fine. Do you have any ideas about my tree? Thank you for your suggestions. I'm afraid you're going to tell me to cut it down. Well, Beverly, thank you for writing and sending a great picture. It does look like it's declining. It looks completely brown. If it was struck by lightning, you possibly could see, more than likely see, some evidence of the strike. It could either be blown off bark, burn scars, or a scarred line up the tree trunk. But I will tell you, it does look dead. So scrape back the bark on a few limbs, 4 to 5, around the whole tree, and see if you can see any green in the cambium layers of the tree. If it's still alive, it will be green underneath the bark. And if it is, then you just have to wait till the tree recovers, which could take years. If it's brown underneath on all the branches, then it's not going to recover. I'm so sorry. It looks like it was a beautiful tree. So seeing lightning strikes again in the Central Florida area on trees, you will notice burn marks on the tree and split bark, charred wood. It looks like it's been burned. Broken branches, lightning can cause the branches just to snap off. And it's standing dead wood. You'll see that. And so check your trees out. I was in Winter Park a couple weeks ago, and a crepe myrtle had been struck by lightning. And it was a multiple trunk crepe myrtle. So two of the trunks, two of the main stems mm-hmm. on the crepe myrtle were dead. And that whole half, it was about a quarter of the tree, was dead up above. And so we're going to cut that portion off. The rest of the tree survived.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So Rebecca in Citrus Springs says, I'm attaching pictures of my bird's nest fern that looks like something is eating the leaves. I see no fungus or insects of any kind. I also have a few more plants with a few leaves eaten like this as well. What is causing this? Thank you for your help. Well, Rebecca, you sent great pictures too, so I really do appreciate it. It's definitely an insect problem. It's not a disease issue or any kind of fungal issue at all. I don't know what's eating it. It could be a caterpillar or a lubber grasshopper. You want to look around through the foliage, and you might even want to take it out of the pot and look through the roots and soil and see if there is some kind of larva or a caterpillar down in your potting soil. Or look for lubber grasshoppers in your yard. Once you see the holes and see the leaves chewed on the side, the damage is done. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. But you can spray 7 on the foliage, and even if you don't see the insect, and that'll prevent it from getting even more insect damage. I just honestly would cut off at the base the leaves that are eaten so you don't see them anymore, and you won't worry about them. Just cut them off.
This is what we're doing now, just to make it go away. We just cut it off.
Yeah, we're not living in reality, right? But I would look to see. Now, if it's on a patio outside, do you have the night lights out? Again, moths do a lot of damage by laying their eggs in potting soil. They'll lay it at the base of a vegetable, and in your raised beds, shut your night lights off, and that will keep the moths down. It's not going to prevent them entirely, but it's going to keep them down. All right, so here we go. Let's see. Got some great text messages. 1-888-455-2967 if you're in the garden area, or you can text me 23680. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from Miami down South Florida. You can give us a call. Key West, you guys, you're going to get a lot of rain. It's going to be mainly in the afternoons, but great weather to plant.
Yes.
In. So Linda in Zone 8B, she says, I have a dozen strawberry plants in pots. She's had them for 2 to 3 years. They're nice plants.
Okay.
But not as productive as they have been. I'd like to repot them. Any special shot in the arm I can give them in doing so? What size pot per plant? Special potting soil? Any other suggestions? Thanks for the info on Sansbergs. What about the lime? Well, the lime gets put down to raise the acidity levels, okay? And so really acidic soils get Sansbergs in them. Now, you could add lime to it, but, you know, I'd just rather take care of the seed issue because you don't really need to change the pH of your soils on a regular basis because it's just going to revert back and you don't have to keep doing it. It becomes another garden chore. And so, you know, just having a nice, thick, healthy lawn or landscape, mulching, and making sure the seeds don't get back into the ground is the best way to do it. Okay, so I remember as a youngster, she said to folks using lime on her Sansbergs. I agree with that. But again, we can raise the pH or lower the pH, but it's always going to revert back. I would just get plants that are already acclimated to your pH that you have, and there's no reason to change it. So your strawberry plants, you know, 1 gallon pots, you know, 1 gallon size or a strawberry jars, you can plant one in each of the little nooks. I'm just thinking they're just getting tired. You know, strawberry plants are annuals. They're not perennials here in Florida. So they just may be tired, Linda, and it just may be good to go ahead and get new ones. And so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with your gardening calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and you are listening to Florida's most popular gardening radio show. We would love for you to go onto our Facebook page, and you can sign up and like our page. And you can also sign up on my website for our free newsletter, gardening newsletter, and that's www.shehe-consulting.com. And we do not give you spam. We do not send you anything that you will have to sign up for. So we'd love for you to join us and let us know what's going on in your garden. You can also email me from betterlawns.com, or you can email me from my website too as well. And so question, text message. Hi, Teresa. What would one do to kill dollar weed in a pond? So I'm kind of asking, I'm not understanding why you want to get rid of it in a pond. It is an aquatic plant. And Florida has 5 native dollar weed, or it's also called marsh pennywort, plants that why you want to kill it. So dollar weed only grows in areas that are along a shoreline, in lakes, in low-lying areas that hold on to moisture, and in areas that are overwatered, because dollar weed is an aquatic plant. And so when you see it growing, and it really kills me because I see it growing in raised cement containers in the middle of a median of a street.
Okay.
And then there's dollar weed growing in it. And I'm going, okay, so they're overwatering.
Uh-huh.
So it's a really big indication of overwatering. But there are native ones. So I don't understand why you want to get rid of it. You can text me back and let me know. If it's getting into your yard, though, then, you know, that's just, you're never going to get rid of it with being on a shoreline. So I just don't see the need to put down any chemicals to kill it, whether they're organic chemicals or not. It just, it's a beautiful weed. It's just very striking, very architectural, but it doesn't belong in the lawn, except if you're on a lake.
Does it, a lot of it grow all at once? Maybe that is their problem, is that there's a whole lot of it that maybe they can just go through and pull it?
Yeah, well, they'll pull it, but it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it just naturally grows in water. It is a native plant. We do have a couple of varieties that are non-native, but I'm just thinking that it's just a wet area, wetland.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's just a native plant.
There you
and
go.
I think it looks beautiful.
Okay.
Okay, but if, you know, just text me back and let me know what you're thinking. And then we have another text message. Have you ever seen a sunflower get to 14 foot tall like it says on the package? And does it have to be staked? Yes, I have. There are several varieties. I've seen them here in Orlando over the years. And one is called Moulin Rouge. It does get to be 14 feet tall. They do need to be staked. I would stake it only because a bird might try and land on it.
Right.
Or, you know, just the wind blowing it over with a storm, a good storm. So I would stake it myself personally. There's also the mammoth sunflowers.
Yes.
That get 15 feet tall. The Russian mammoth gets 15 feet tall. And there is there's several varieties that get that tall.
Yes, I had a mammoth. I had one mammoth, and it grew 10 foot tall. And it was great. We ended up chopping it. And then I was kind of sad because I wanted it to chop it so we could grill it.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
I've seen where people grill it.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, we got distracted and other things were happening. So,
you chopped it off. Did you save the seeds?
Yes.
Wonderful. So, very good.
Yep.
I think you would have beautiful sunflowers in your yard, just spreading them out there and having all a whole field of sunflowers.
That would be nice. We have dogs, and now we have turkeys, and yeah.
Yeah, I guess the turkeys wouldn't let it.
Oh, no.
They would get up. It. They'd get up to about a foot tall, and the turkeys would come by and go, yeah, that looks delicious.
And if people don't know, turkeys love watermelon. I will fight anybody who goes, the turkeys, they like it. No, the turkeys see me carry a watermelon across the yard, they lose their ever-loving mind.
Well, you're not carrying an axe when you're carrying the watermelon, though, because they may be reacting to the axe.
That's a good point. But I wanted them to become familiar with the axe, so I do have one thrown over my shoulder, and then I have the watermelon.
And like you're going to cut off the watermelon with a big axe or a knife, you know.
Oh, you've been in my yard, so you've seen me do this. Yes, it takes an axe to chop a watermelon in front of a turkey.
So is it cold, or do they like it cold or hot? I mean, or warm? You know how watermelon can be served just, you know, mm-hmm. from the back of a truck. And it's warm, but then there's also really ice cold watermelon.
Yes, whenever we've had the 116 degree weather, like literally it feels like, and that's what's registered at my house. They love the icy cold, but then they don't care.
They gobble.
They love it. They'll actually climb up on me to get to it if I'm not quick enough.
That's too crazy. If you did not see Lizzie's video, her reel of the turkeys chasing Sydney on the lawnmower.
Oh, it is
hysterical.
It is hysterical. Yeah. See, I posted Devin's, and then, Sid, it's, we have one white hair, broad breasted heritage, and he started chasing my husband. Shrek is what we call him. And he started chasing him the other day. It was crazy.
Oh, my goodness. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. We did have our texter, she texted back, says, it's really overwhelming. I can no longer see the water of the pond. I would just go ahead and take a rake and rake it out. And just when it gets too much, just rake it out. I wouldn't put it in your compost pile. I don't know, unless it gets really, really hot. But raking it out, bag up, and throw it away. And that's just going to be your easiest way to get rid of it. And you might have to do it like once or twice a year. Okay. Okay. I understand that. That's cool. I know you'd like to see the water, and I appreciate that. So what can you be doing in your yards right now this week? dividing your bromeliads. I will tell you, I went by some houses and took some lovely photos of bromeliads in the landscape, and I'll be posting those. And this is a time to divide them up. They may have already bloomed, and they're going to start to decline, and your bromeliads really don't die without producing more pups. So you have new ones coming up. This is the time of the year to divide them up and share them. You can divide up also your Shasta daisies and your daylilies right now and other perennials. This is a great time, especially with the rain. They will recover better. And then also, too, if you would like to divide your poinsettias, okay, you want more poinsettias, this is the time to take cuttings. And they take clippings, propagate from clippings very easily. You want to cut a 6 to 8 inch stem, cut the end of the stem diagonally, put some kind of hormone, rooting hormone on it, which will also help prevent disease issues on it, and put it into a nice, you can use organic seed starting potting material, very lightweight, put it in the shade, and it will root in about 6 to 8 weeks, and you have more new poinsettia plants, and that'll be great. We are going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens from Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let's go to Michael in Melbourne. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you?
Oh, good morning, ma'am. Thank you so very much. We all love what you do. I have some mature mangoes and avocados that you've helped me with in the past. And, okay, you know, we had a really dry winter, dry season this year, and I had blossoms come out, and then they all went down, and then it come back, and so the bottom line here is I have a light crop, and I have a lot of dead limbs. Now, I don't know the difference between a dead limb and a branch, but from the end of them, from the actual tips of them, there's some of them are 2.5 feet long at the biggest, and the biggest diameter is maybe the size of your thumb.
Okay.
And my question is, and they're high. I take the ones off that I can reach, but they're high. And there's quite a few of them. Do they hurt the tree?
I would take them off, yes.
Okay.
Not. It's not that it's going to hurt the tree. I just think it looks unsightly. And
it does.
As the dead branches stay on the tree, and you can use branches and limbs interchangeably. I don't think there's a difference.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And I love the show, and both of you are just great. Thank you. Bye-bye, and have a good one.
Okay, bye-bye. But, Michael, I do want you, I hope you're still listening, because I do want to tell you that as we leave dead limbs on the tree, the possibility for disease or it getting back into the tree is there. So go ahead and cut them off. And
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you
okay,
so much.
Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And, wow, great caller. Jerry from Citrus. Good morning. How can I help you?
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I'm wondering how I can possibly propagate my Europeana rose. It's pretty big, and I tried ground layering and cuttings and this type of stuff, and it seems very resistant
to
propagating.
Okay, so how much of the stems are you cutting off?
Oh, I've cut up to a foot, 6 inches, that type of thing, and I ground layer a couple foot, you know, because it's a pretty big bush, and it's very hardy. It grows and flowers year-round.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like you got a green thumb. Now, when you cut the stems, do you cut the end diagonally, or do you cut it straight across?
Diagonally or, you know, slanted.
Yeah, slanted. That's what I want. Okay.
Shears.
And
mm-hmm.
How many do you do at a time?
Oh, several. 3, 4, 5.
Okay. And they've all died on you?
Yeah, they gradually turn dark and die. I got them in the shade and my soil.
What soil are you using?
I got a potting soil, but could be too heavy.
I think it is. You know, I would use a seed starting potting soil, very lightweight,
or seed starter
soil. Oh. Okay, it's very lightweight.
More perlite in it.
It has a little bit more air, allows it to the roots to propagate easier. Yeah, so I would do that. And how deep are you putting it into the pot?
Oh, I tried it from 2 inches to 4 inches.
I would put it a little deeper. So if you cut deeper, because you want to make sure you're getting, see where the new leaves come out, those nodes on the sides of the stem? I would have those below the ground, in the dirt. So I would have at least 3 to 4 inches, if not more than that, in the pot, and then, 5 to 6 inches outside. Now, how much shade are they getting?
How much what?
Shade are they getting?
Shade? Oh, it's almost the full shade except for the very early morning sun up by the garage door.
Uh-huh.
Overhang,
it might need a little bit more sunlight, okay? And make sure... A little bit more sunlight. And and then do you put root tone or a rooting hormone on the bottom of the stem? Do you dip it in rooting hormone?
I did that once, and that didn't seem to do any good either. So I've done this several times.
Okay, well, I would always use that. That helps prevent disease, but it also stimulates the hormones to root. And so I would use that. So dip it into the pot, and then put a little pencil in your potting soil, and put the stem into the soil. And
in the hole.
In the hole. Yes.
Okay. Does that rooting hormone expire?
I wouldn't say. I don't know. I mean, if it was, 10 years old, it probably is not as effective. If it's, 1 to 2 years old, it should be just fine. Okay, I would do 3 to 5 at a time.
Thank you.
And, you'll up your chances of getting one. Okay?
Yes. Thank you very much, Teresa.
Let me know how you do, bye-bye. Jerry. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I have to say that our caller, Michael, that called in, he's hysterical. I love when our listeners call and they crack jokes with me off air. That's one thing, because we have the best listeners. But I think he just won a fight with somebody over branches versus limbs. Because did you see how excited he was whenever you were just like, you can call him whatever you want? And he's like, oh, okay. Like, he was taking notes, like, I'm going to go put this in your face. So, yes.
Well, I hope he wins so he can win. I'll back him up. I'll be his wingman there. Okay, and so when I have a text message, when you cut off limbs close to the main trunk, should you do anything to treat the raw spot on the trunk? And I will say no. It used to be that we used to paint trees and we would cut off limbs and paint the wound. We do not recommend that anymore. That's not good for the tree or the wound. You want it to heal naturally. And when you paint it, you seal it off and it can't get fresh air. So think about our Band-Aids that we put on our scratches and sores. That Band-Aid can breathe. And so it's just basically to prevent it from getting dirty that we put the Band-Aid on it, because the fresh air is the best thing for it. And it will heal naturally. So we do not recommend painting trees that have had their limbs removed. Do not do that. And it will actually, if you're cutting a limb off because it's got a disease issue, then what you're actually doing is sealing that disease into the plant. And so you're doing a little bit more harm.
And that's funny. It's like, I do remember my dad going through and he would cut the trees and he would put some paint on it.
White paint,
okay. And we also want to remind everybody that that Peterson's Nursery, this is the last time for this year, today, repotting
it's contagious.
I'm going home. Orchids at Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland from 10 to noon, but they're only going to allow you to bring two of them in. And I never realized until I started doing the show that you actually should repot your orchids.
Yes.
But you better do it right. So,
yes, it's very good. And they give a really good class. So go down and say hi to Howie and Karen down at Peterson's Nursery.
Yes.
And tell them that they have a great nursery, because they do.
They really do.
We love going down there. Our cars are full when we leave.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And I've got to get their azaleas that they have. They have the ones that their family has over the years have actually created and bred. It's like a peachish color
that
one.
That is so cool. So, yes. I have to check those out. So in Lake Placid, hi down to everyone in Lake Placid. Love the show. Thank you so much for listening. When will the lovers start to die off? Oh, please. They can't die off soon enough. They start to die if they do. Right, you know, winter freezes will kill them and things like that. But what they're doing right now is laying eggs for next year. So when you see them, kill them. You just stomp on them. It feels really good to do that. And you get points if you get them in the road. And
but don't take any animals, children, or other vehicles out.
That is so true. We want to say thank you to Dana Venrick for coming on and giving us all the great advice on his soil amendments. Go by and see his nursery. It's got wonderful plants, wonderful natives there that you can buy in DeLand. 335 West Michigan Street in DeLand. And tell him we said hi. And
I've got to get by because he has the ice cream bananas, and I'm like, ice cream bananas, and you can grow them in your yard.
Yes, he does. He also has winged sumac, and it's one of my favorite plants. Winged sumac, go by and get some for your yard, and that would do really well in your yard too. And it turns brilliant red in the wintertime, so that is great. Also, too, if you'd like to know more about my Philadelphia trip, magical tour to Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Flower Show, and Longwood, and a private garden, Northview Gardens, Jenny Rose Carey, great garden historian. You can check it out on our my website, she-consulting.com, or artandbloomgardentours.com. And Gwendy will take really good care of you. We'd love to do that. Thank you, Lizzie, for everything. My new segment, Teresa's Top 5. We're going to have it every week. I'll change it out next week. We'll see what it is. Thank you to all of you listening out there. We do appreciate you. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you miss any of this show or shows in the past, go to betterlawns.com and you can listen to all of our podcasts there. Betterlawns.com.